Texas. We've talked about Florida, Texas, and New Mexico. But the other region with a large Spanish colonial influence was, of course, the West Coast. California was ceded to the U.S. by Mexico in 1848. 1 year later, the gold rush of 1849 shifted the demographics of the region firmly in favor of Anglo-Americans. But Spanish California does live on, in fiction, as the setting for one of the most enduring American myths of all time. Our producer, Marlon Bishop, picks up the story there.
You've probably never realized it, but the first great American superhero was Latino.
Who wore a mask, wore black clothing, melted into the night, and had a fabulous black steed whose name was Tornado.
That was Sandra Curtis, a Zorro expert. Zorro didn't have superpowers. He couldn't fly or shoot lasers from his eyes, but he was as quick as the wind. He was unbeatable in a sword fight. And, of course, had a way with the ladies.
And what should I say your best
at? Well, I dance all known dances, and I yield to no one in the new world at kissing ladies' hands.
Rather than having superpowers, he had super smarts. So he was able to outwit his adversaries rather than overpower them.
Señores?
It's Zorro! I will capture him, comandante!
Most certainly I have not come to surrender, said Señor Zorro. I am on business.
Business? Zorro, or the Fox in English, was invented by Johnston McCulley, a pulp fiction writer from California. These passages come from his first Zorro story, The Curse of Capistrano, published in 1919.
4 days ago, senor, you brutally beat a native who had won your dislike. The affair happened on the road between here and the mission at San Gabriel.
He was a surly dog and got in my way. How does it concern you, my pretty highwayman?
I am the friend of the oppressed, senor, and I have come to punish you.
The Zorro story is set in Spanish colonial California. Zorro is the dashing alter ego of the meek Don Diego, son of the wealthiest landowner in the pueblo of Los Angeles.
Oh, please, please, it's only I. Has something happened?
Zorro's world is full of corrupt colonial officials and cruel military captains. They abuse their power, tormenting indigenous peasants and Catholic friars alike. When night falls, Diego dons his mask and goes on a one-man mission to set things right. But the colonial administration fears Zorro, so they try to turn the public against him by smearing him as a dangerous and murderous bandit.
California is in my hands. I'm accountable to no one, is that clear? No one!
McCulley's story was turned into a hit silent film with Douglas Fairbanks in 1920 and went on to inspire dozens of remakes and TV series. But McCulley didn't pull Zorro out of thin air. The California bandido archetype he resembles had already been floating around for a while, born in the tumult around the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo in 1848, when Yankees began streaming into California and squatting on Mexican-owned land.
What arose in the popular history, a number of characters who were trying, like Zorro, to defend the vulnerable.
We don't know for sure, but experts believe that Zorro was based on a famous outlaw named Joaquin Murrieta. Murrieta allegedly came to California from Mexico during the gold rush, but was prevented from seeking his fortune by California's foreign miners tax, which was designed to keep Hispanics off the gold fields. Unable to find work, Murrieta terrorized the highways of Northern California. Depending on who you talk to, he was either a hero of Mexican resistance or a common murderer. The only thing is, he might not have been a real person.
There was a popular sort of yellow journalist who started writing in the San Francisco paper about this character, and he probably created Joaquin Murrieta.
As the story goes, the governor put a ransom on Murrieta's head. After he was captured, his literal head was preserved in a bottle of brandy and exhibited around the state. The head eventually made its way to live behind a bar in a San Francisco saloon until it was destroyed in the earthquake of 1906.
It made for great journalism. The question is, was it real?
Another bandido that was undeniably real was Juan Cortina, a South Texas rancher turned fighter. One day in Brownsville, he saw a gringo sheriff giving a beating to one of his former employees. He shot the sheriff and fled. He went on to assemble a ragtag insurgent force that battled with the U.S. Army on and off for years. After being defeated, he spent the rest of his career rustling cattle and dodging the law. Throughout, he framed his actions as revenge for the unjust treatment of Tejanos by the Americans. Historical figures like Cortina provided a model for the Zorro story, but that was just the beginning. Zorro, in turn, went on to serve as a prototype for future superheroes. Think about Batman, another wealthy loner who dons a mask to fight for justice. Batman's creator, Bob Kane, was obsessed with Zorro as a kid growing up in Brooklyn.
So he said that it was very easy for him to take this character who had been in Southern California and put him in this megalopolis, and instead of the cave in the hills of California, he put him in a bat cave, made him a bat instead of a fox, and off he went to defend the oppressed.
But, you know, as time has gone on and the Zorro myth has developed, he's become a sort of epitome of the all-American hero.
Historian Felipe Fernandez Armesto.
And I think that, you know, just about every fictional masked hero in American literature derives from Zorro, you know, Batman, even Superman.
Felipe says you see Zorro's mark in others, the Lone Ranger, Spider-Man, and so on.
They all have the same characteristics. You know, they're all these loners on the outskirts of society who don't need society but who serve it. They all wear a mask to suppress their identity and identify themselves with universal values of right and justice.
But it's worth pointing out that the rakish individualists that Zorro was likely patterned after, they weren't American patriots. In fact, they fought against Americans.
And what a great irony that is, you know, that the great American hero tradition begins with someone who's actually a hero of resistance against the United States.
We often talk about patriotism and loyalty as prime American values. But you wouldn't guess it looking at our superheroes. Compassion for the weak and the will to question and confront authority. Now that's the stuff an all-American superhero is made of.
Producer Marlon Bishop on The Legend of Zorro.